We're very excited about it. Susan and Cheryl are, they're a little late. They're sleeping in. I think they had one too many watching the Rams-Bulldogs game last night. Yikes. How we doing, Rams fans? You guys okay? You need a shoulder to lean on right now? Or are you that forever optimist that I'm seeing on Twitter that's like, hey, it's the first game, we'll be okay? That was one of three that I had you pick to win. The other game didn't happen. And, yeah, there you go. So, according to that, Colfax, I'm not a math wizard, but that would mean the Rams are going to win one game this year. Do you guys see them? Seriously, I'm asking. Do you really see this team beat Wyoming? No. Boise State? No. You're 0-3. Maybe UNLV? You're not beating Air Force, I don't think. Although Air Force looked a little more human last game. You're not beating San Diego State. You're not beating Utah State. I don't know. This was a weird situation. We'll get to some clips from the post-game press conference from head coach Steve Adazio. Is it Centeio or Centeio? How are we saying it, Rams fans? Because I've been saying Centeio all week, and then Centeio is what was on the broadcast. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to 31996, and let's chat, let's talk, let's vent it out a little bit. Steve Adazio via the Zoom, as we're doing through all of our press conferences now, was he just started things off, and we'll get his initial. This was his opening statement after the Rams lost, 38-17 to Fresno State.
Felt like on offense, clearly we had the ball inside the 13-yard line three times, and all we pulled out of that was 3 points. And, that's just not good enough. Plan to win starts with playing great defense, and we certainly didn't play good enough there either. Score in the red zone, we didn't do that well enough. You know, excel on special teams, field position, I thought we probably accomplished that. Turnovers, you know, I think we had a turnover, and we had some real critical penalties. I thought we played hard throughout the game. I thought we competed hard. But I thought we made far and away too many mistakes. Some critical penalties and just too many mistakes. On defense and man coverage, we found ourselves beaten man. I thought we did a good job stopping the run on defense. I don't think we pushed the interior of the pocket well enough. Certainly not in the first half. I thought in the second half we did a better job. And on offense, we were at times looked explosive, dynamic, and other times looked poor.
He kind of summarizes it up pretty nicely. I mean, that was the game, right? You had some issues there, moving down the field. One of the very first opportunities when the Rams settled for a field goal in that first quarter, I was a little worried about old Todd there. He tries to go to the left side of the end zone. He has, I believe, that was McElroy underneath to the left, wide open. Little running back to the flats there would have been an easy touchdown. Things like that were missed. Patrick O'Brien gets in the game. We didn't see a quarterback carousel, which I'm glad for that. I didn't want to see Centeio in for, 20 plays, and then suddenly we're going to throw in Patrick O'Brien. I didn't want to see anything like that. O'Brien comes in the fourth quarter because the game's out of reach. And listen, there's life to the offense as you move, but you see this in football all the time. So let's not make too much of it, because you see backup quarterback, they can kind of move the ball down the field. We're used to that. However, I mean, O'Brien should have been the starter, but I get the reasoning. Here's Steve Adazio on why he decided to go with Centeio instead of Patrick O'Brien at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, we made a decision that we were down, obviously, we lost Warren early, before we even started. And then we were down two receivers. And we just felt like we were going to need his legs in this game, and that we needed a mixture of that, especially in this game, because we were just really down probably our most explosive guy and then one of our next top receivers. So we thought that would be something that would be to our advantage. And I thought that, it seemed like that was going to play pretty well.
I mean, I get the reasoning. We heard before the game that Dante Wright was out. And so you're already without Warren Jackson. You knew that, a big part of what you were thinking this offense was going to be. And then Dante Wright turns out he was in the COVID protocols, which college is way more secretive than the NFL about all this stuff. Like, you don't know, especially now, you never really know when guys are healthy or what that situation looks like. Well, Dante writes out, here's Steve Addazio talking about when they found out and what the immediate future looks like for Dante Wright.
Well, we were without Ty and Dante. Those are two of our top four receivers. So, I mean, they've been out for 2 weeks. They were contact traced. You'd have to take that up with whoever's in charge of all that. Hopefully, I think we get them back like tomorrow morning. That's a player day off tomorrow morning, so that's not going to really matter.
Didn't sound too thrilled about that, does he? I don't really comment a lot and talk about the masks and all that stuff. I think the rules are inconsistent and it drives me nuts. But I don't know. You were under like a bunch of investigations about your handling for COVID and your mask's like down here below. I can't imagine, Colfax, because, you know, people take them off. They don't even think about it. It's not a big deal for me, but I was thinking, oh boy, the mask police are going to be after Coach Addazio, I'm sure. I haven't really heard much about it today, but isn't that weird? It's not National Anthem Watch anymore. It's Mask Watch. Who's wearing a mask? Oh, this one's wearing a visor. That's interesting. It's rough. Rough day for Rams fans. My keys to the game were develop the run. Yeah. They ran for 149 yards. That came from the quarterback, though. I like the read option stuff. I think that's kind of fun. We're not really used to that. I mean, he broke off a huge run early with that read, and I really enjoyed that. I don't know about his passing ability. He was 10 for 23. His QBR was 29, but he ran for 80 yards. So that was cool. McElroy, though, I thought was going to get off to this really good start. It seemed like he was off to a decent start. He ran for 35 yards and a touchdown. And Vivens had 26 yards. It wasn't the running, again, 149 yards. It's not bad, but it's mainly coming from your quarterback, so you want to be able to control that clock with your running backs. And listen, if you're running well, but you're not throwing well, you're putting your team in a tough spot. I said Trey McBride was going to be a key in this one. 8 receptions, 130 yards and a touchdown. He goes down. I was pretty worried about that, but he had an awesome game, so he did what he did, and he's going to continue to probably put up huge numbers all season. Love Trey McBride. Maybe you just don't have the star power. Dante Wright's missing. That's a huge deal. DaQuan Jackson had 10 tackles. He was all over the field. 7 of those were solo. You know, my other key to the game, though, was somebody's got to rise up. Somebody's got to be a star on this team defensively. Because, I mean, we talk about Manny Jones and, you know, but you need playmakers. You need guys that can make plays, and you just didn't see it. First quarter was okay. Missed opportunities, perhaps. Addazio talked about that. Kelly Lyle from the Colorado and asked Coach Addazio what the quarterback plan is for the future.
Well, I don't make any decision for the season. I make a decision for a game. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next week, the week after that, or anything else. Go back. I mean, I got to look and watch the tape. Toddie had a great camp. I thought, Pat competed hard. But in this game, we clearly felt that we were going to need his legs. And as we move forward, I'll make that decision. We'll make that as we go. Toddie's a good thrower and a runner, and Pat's done a good job, throwing the ball too. And so I think, that was the decision that we clearly made.
Noob said the new quarterback reminds me of Colin Kaepernick with his build. Yeah, I mean, and if you could get Kaepernick type play like he did in Nevada, then you'd be pretty happy with that. But throwing is, that doesn't seem to be a strength at this stage, one game in. I don't like the whole, I don't make any decisions for the future. What? Whatever happened to the day? Now, bear with me, Rams fans. I'm going to go back in time. Remember back in the day when a guy used to commit to a quarterback and that was the quarterback of the team until he lost the job? I don't like, and again, I know Coach Addazio is keeping everything pretty close to the chest, especially after everything that happened before the season. But I'm not really fond of the whole, what? I don't make any decisions for the future. That's a game by game basis. You got six games left, and you don't know who your quarterback. I don't like musical chairs with quarterbacks. I like making a decision. Now, does that mean you can't put Senteo in on certain plays because you know he can run? Like I said yesterday, I don't mind that if there's a reason for it. You see what the Saints do. I don't mind that at all. But I don't want to just switch up quarterbacks because, you know, we want him to have, you know, at least five passes in this game. No, bring him in because you think he's going to be able to run. Give him the option to throw. But I really don't like switching up on the quarterbacks. All right, 16 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a quick break. We'll catch up with Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Your thoughts, more aftermath of the game that was for Colorado State losing to Fresno State 38-17. Coach Adazio starts off 0-1 in his career with Colorado State. Your thoughts, text the show, text KFKA to 31996. That's the First Advantage text line, 16 after the hour. We'll take a short break. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly...
You want football? Set your dial to KFKA. Hear NFL games all season long on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
After the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. That's right, Halloween's tomorrow. That's why you played the old Halloween music last time, Colfax. I see where you're going with that.
Got to go with the Monster Mash.
Yeah. Is that your favorite Halloween song?
I think it is, by far.
That's up there. I feel like Thriller's been overdone. Like, we play that a lot.
Don't expect any Thriller today from me.
We play that a lot. Or that's just overplayed. But, I mean, it's I liked it growing up, but then, man, they just play it all the time. Kevin Lytle joining us. He sat through that little spiel, so thanks for that, man. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And, Kevin, what do you want to talk about, man? Let's dig into something.
Let's debate the merits of candy corn, I think, is the most pressing issue at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. Oh, and, that weird game last night. Rams, Bulldogs. Oh, boy. Well, I think the top story on it, of course, is the quarterback situation. And Kevin, help me out here, my man. I've been saying Todd Senteo, and then I'm hearing on the broadcast it's Todd Senteo. How are you saying it?
I've had it as Todd Senteo. I'm assuming they're right based on the pronunciation guide, but I do need to double-check that. See, I usually just worry about writing them.
Yeah.
So that's lower on my priority list than it is for you guys.
Well, I'm thinking about with the Broncos with Albert Okwebanon. I heard every different pronunciation for that name.
They had no idea what they were doing there.
That's great. So I always got to double check. But talk to us about this. I get the reasoning, Kevin. I really do. You know, we find out we're without Donte Wright because of COVID. You already know you're without Warren Jackson. So you're in a tough spot. You wanted to get a guy that can run around, and he had 80 yards rushing, so that made sense. But I'm never really a fan of, oh, this is the guy for this game. And I know it was either you or Kelly asked him in the post game, Kevin, who's the quarterback for the future, and he doesn't want to commit to that. I'm just not a big fan. I like picking a quarterback, and you stick with him until you decide he's not the right guy.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I don't like the quarterback carousel, and especially in this situation, I think it was basically an overthink, a overcoaching situation. Because, like you say, I get part of it of, you know, Hawaii was their quarterback was really able to run a lot on Fresno last week. So you're looking at that. You're looking at you're missing some weapons. But then the more I think about it, it's like, okay, you're missing your top weapons. So you're going to throw in the kid who's never started a college game and say, hey, no Donte Wright, no Ty McCulloch, obviously no Cam Butler, no Warren Jackson. good luck, kid. Yeah. You better run for 200 or else there's nothing else we can do. That just makes no sense to me. And especially, you know, Patrick O'Brien is not a runner. Don't get me wrong there, but he's not immobile. So you could still do some things with him to open up the defense with the legs. And his arm, obviously, and we saw it late. Yeah, it was garbage time, but he can make big downfield throws. So to me, you had to start O'Brien. If he struggles, you could go to Senteo as a change of pace, and I think that would make sense. You both quarterbacks would be happy, and, you know, everything would be all right. And honestly, you know, the you know, PR battle, it definitely does matter. Coaches love to say it doesn't, but that's a lie. You've now basically you put Senteo in a rough spot. You already have fans. The poor kid has played one game, and you have a lot of fans who have already turned on him.
Yeah.
Patrick O'Brien, we haven't been able to speak to him because, of course, CSU is trying to hide the quarterbacks right now. But surely he is not happy, as anyone would be. I mean, he threw for 3,000, almost 3,000 yards last year and then just gets benched. So now you have two quarterbacks that you put in a pretty bad situation. And you're one game in, so I think it was just a complete error of judgment. Adazio, to his credit, said, you know, all decisions are, you know, what happens rests with me, as is true and as he should say, but you're paid a lot of money to make the right call, and very clearly it was not the right call.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin, I know it's a new coaching staff, and you're supposed to kind of wipe the memory, and everyone starts anew, but There's a part of me that, you know, Patrick, the way he played last year, I'm not saying he's the greatest quarterback ever, but I almost look at it and say, man, the guy earned it. We haven't seen Senteo in anything. So I almost felt like it was a pretty rough way to start your career off as the Rams head coach, is to take a guy that was fairly successful last year on a bad team and basically just, you know, at the drop of a hat, he's done for, and then he doesn't get to go in until the fourth.
Yep, and I kind of wrote this. There are obviously enough problems. We could spend a long time documenting the issues with CSU football right now. And you could have, like I say, start Patio, and there's no problem. Like I say, even if he struggles, I think people, you could pretty easily pass it off as, hey, you know, first game issues, like you said, new system, you're missing all your weapons, you know, hey, tough game, but we move on. You know, we use Senteo as a change of pace. Things are good, but instead, like I said, you have a real awkward situation now, and yeah, it kind of was a didn't need to be a problem, and now it is, and it's going to be very odd going forward, because now I think most people feel that you have to start Patrick O'Brien Thursday against Wyoming, but then again, what message are you sending to poor Todd Senteo, who's now started one game and has been benched in his college career? So like I say, you know, more than likely after two games, you'll have benched two quarterbacks. So that doesn't seem ideal to me.
No, and again, this is why I like committing to one guy. And then once that guy proves that he's maybe not right for the job at that stage, then you move on. But this, again, this even Coach Adazio's response in the post game to you guys, Kevin, was, what are you going to do for the future? What's this look like? Oh, I don't make any plans for that. I mean, it's since when, Kevin, did it turn into head football coaches making quarterback decisions week by week? I mean, whatever happened to the good old days when you just said he's our quarterback until proven otherwise? Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, I was confused by a lot of it, because like you said, that quote, you know, maybe it was just said in anger, I don't know.
Maybe.
But it's pretty confounding to hear, you know, I make decisions based on a game, not a season. It's like, well, I mean, I do, you know, obviously there are games that certain matchups work better, but
sure.
But you're managing a season too. You know, these things don't exist in a vacuum. I mean, this Fresno State game, it still impacts the season. That's still on the record. So I didn't quite get what he meant by that. And like I say, maybe it was just, you know, the anger of losing, and he didn't phrase what he meant very, very well. But that was a very odd statement to me. Because obviously you need to be managing a season, not just a game. Definitely not the ideal start, and it's going to be interesting moving forward. And, you know, the one thing I will say, if Adazio had said that O'Brien, the amount of time he missed in camp is why they didn't feel comfortable playing, because we know he was out due to some sort of COVID issue, whether it was him having COVID or contact tracing. Adazio has basically told us that. But post-game, he didn't mention that at all. He said, I mean, he may have sounded like it was 100% they wanted the running ability of Todd Senteo. So, you know, that would have been the one caveat where I would have said, okay, I mean, if the guy didn't practice at all, maybe I can get it. But that doesn't seem to be the case. And obviously, O'Brien was here through the abbreviated, but still some of spring ball. So it's not like, you know, he just met the staff or anything.
Yeah. And listen, I don't really mind, like with the Saints, when you watch Drew Brees and Taysom Hill, I mean, they do kind of switch it up once in a while, but he'll come in for different plays too, even when Brees isn't. I don't really mind that reasoning. But again, to just say, no, this guy can run, he's getting the starting job, it is a little interesting, a strange way to start your career as the head coach, to already have not just a loss. I think all of us can take a loss. We're fine with that. But it's the quarterback controversy, which it really seems like this morning. How about Donte Wright? That was a shocker. And again, this world of COVID, college football, we don't always know who's going to be playing on a given, especially not being able to go to practice and learn that. So shocker to a lot of people last night.
Yeah, I had heard basically rumor, if you will, about Donte and Ty McCulloch not being available, but I was never able to establish more than that, so of course didn't report it. But sure enough, you know, here pregame that they're out, and that's a big blow. And that was another, watching Adazio's press conference, he was pretty peeved about.
Yeah.
It sounds like it was contact tracing, so they didn't test positive, or at least Donte didn't. But it was the tracing that caused which leads to a 14-day quarantine. And Adazio made it sound like yesterday was the last of those days. So if they had played tonight, you know, obviously he wouldn't have practiced. I don't know exactly how that would play into things, but he would have been at least allowed to be part of the team. And he was clearly very, very unhappy with those protocols and the things that go into that. He kind of tried to demur and say, talk to someone else about those because I don't make those rules.
Yeah.
But yeah, huge blow. I mean, Donte Wright is a superstar, and especially with Warren Jackson gone, I think is going to be very intriguing to see how they used him. And then obviously just very important to have him on the field because of his playmaking ability. And you know, again, throw a tiny asterisk in there of, you know, how much different would the game have been if he was there? Don't know. But again, that's also part of football, especially part of COVID football.
Yeah, and that's the tough part, too. And that's where I know it feels like I'm beating up Coach Adazio, and I get it. It is a tough spot. I can't even imagine the things that these guys have to go through now. On a regular basis, it's tough. Now you're throwing in the COVID stuff. It's crazy. But it certainly seems like it's just a perfect storm of mess for Colorado State for game one, at least. How about Trey McBride? He has the game we expect him to. I mean, 8 receptions, over 130 yards, 1 touchdown. Huge stuff. He goes down once, though, and I think all of you know, Rams fans were just kind of freaking out for a moment.
Yeah, he did exactly what he should do. Someone referred to him as a mini George Kittle, and in many, it's only in age terms because there's nothing small about Trey McBride. But yeah, it's good to see him out there healthy and just dominating. Yeah, he's a guy that went into the transfer portal, and man, just imagine if that team had played last night without him, what it would have looked like. Maybe some of you don't want to imagine. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But he was really, really good, and they're going to need him to be. And him and Patrick O'Brien seem to have pretty good passing chemistry, which is another wormhole we could climb down. But McBride is a great player. I, you know, he's a junior technically, which means he can come back as a junior next year due to the eligibility ruling by the NCAA. But you kind of wonder how much time he has at CSU, because that looks like an NFL player to me.
No question. And it's not just his receiving, too. I mean, you see him finish blocks. I was watching maybe one of the first carries of the game. McBride's out blocking, and he just won't stop. Like, he looks like he's ready to hurt somebody. And that's what teams are looking for. I need a guy that can catch, can get downfield. But maybe more importantly, I need a guy that blocks. And, man, he's the complete package when it comes to tight ends, isn't he?
100%. I mean, the blocking tape, it, I think, is the thing that's maybe even most attractive to the next level. You know, if you all remember watching the movie The Blind Side, that scene where the actor playing Michael Orr takes the guy and drives him through the end zone as he's putting him on the bus. That's basically Trey McBride on every play. He plays incredibly angry, and I mean that in the best way. He goes, you know, the old coaching cliche of play to the whistle. He takes that to the very limit of it because he wants his opponent to be absolutely miserable. And yeah, he's a great player, a fun one to watch. And like I say, he has an incredibly bright future beyond the college level.
Yeah, I think if you're teaching blocking at any level or position, whether that's a running back, tight end, or lineman, you're putting Trey McBride's film on because he finishes the play. I mean, he's sensational when it comes to that. How about the defensive side of the ball, Kevin? DaQuan Jackson had 10 tackles. He was pretty solid in this game, but just really nothing special from this defense, and we kind of got to see that Swiss cheese-style defense later as the game progressed. When will there come a day when we see this defense improve?
Yeah, that was pretty alarming because they had been playing pretty decent late last year. Obviously, a total change in staff and system. But, man, you know, the running backs coming out of the backfield were just completely wide open, and not just one or two. I mean, it was basically nonstop and unable to get off the field on third down. I mean, there was at least three third and 12 or longers that were converted, a couple key penalties, obviously big plays. You know, Ronnie Rivers just ran over people, and the tackling was bad. The brightest spot is they create a little pressure, had a few sacks, but even that, I think we're kind of grasping at straws. It was a rough defensive day.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when you look at it, Ronnie Rivers, when he doesn't get his on the ground, I mean, he had 95 yards, but man, he's lighting it up in the receiving game too. So that guy's a special player for sure. Overall, yeah, it just felt like as the game went on, Fresno State could do no wrong. I'm watching an early play where Jay Kaner steps up into the pocket and rolls, and the coverage just breaks down, and he's making time. And it's just missed opportunities mixed with blown assignments, I suppose, and just a lot of confusion surrounding this Rams team this afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's 24-10 at half. CSU forced the punt on the first series, and you're thinking, oh, man, you know, go score then. And you're feeling pretty good. And, you know, the first couple series, I think they were pretty solid defensively in the second half. And you're like, oh, man, you just need the offense to get going. And, you know, to me, oh, yeah, we're Monday morning quarterbacking, but that's when I would have been going to Patrick O'Brien because there was a chance to make the comeback. And then it didn't happen, a couple rough offensive series, and then there was that big Fresno State series that really ended it. You know, they had, I believe that was a 3rd and 18. They had a 17-yard pass and then ran for on 4th down. Later in that series, there was a 3rd down stop that was defensive pass interference in the end zone. Mm. And, of course, Fresno State scored, and that was basically ball game right there. After starting the third quarter well, that series pretty much ended it.
Yeah. You're right. I saw it on Twitter too. A lot of Rams fans saying, hey, Patrick O'Brien better be coming out to start the second half. So when that didn't happen, I would imagine there was a lot of cursing going on inside a lot of Fort Collins fans last night.
Yeah. Especially once they went down 31-10, I think you had to go then, because obviously then you're battling the clock and the scoreboard and you need to start, you know, really airing it out. Obviously, that's not an ideal situation, but I really didn't understand why they still stuck with Centeio then when obviously he was struggling to pass. It really did not make much sense to me.
Kevin, any shot against this Wyoming team? Now, again, it's so new. We don't know a lot about these teams, but, you know, if you're basing things off last year, Wyoming should be a pretty decent team this season.
Yeah, and Wyoming, not to keep rubbing the salt in this wound, but, you know, Wyoming tends to play a really hard-nosed, good defensive, pretty clean game. They have, you know, Sean Chambers, their quarterback, already is out for the year really early in their first game last week. Suffered a bad injury, so you feel bad for him. It'll be interesting. They play Hawaii tonight, so I'll definitely have an eye on that to see how both those teams look. But it's going to be a tough game, and obviously there's a mental battle with that because, yeah, it's a new coaching staff. And they'll say all the right things about winning rivalries, but most of these players have been through a lot of losses against rivals. And, you know, you wonder when's the tipping point going to be that they'll get one back, but you also wonder how much does that weigh on them knowing they haven't been beating rivals. So I know it's only week two and or week three, but second game and a weird season, all that, but this feels like a pretty significant game coming up.
Yeah, no question about it. It's strange, Kevin. Before the season started, you know, I questioned how much does this season really mean? How much pressure is really on Steve Addazio? Well, I think we found out because I think people are discussing it today. They want to see results. They don't care if it's 2020 or the COVID year. Rams fans sound like they really want to see wins and they want to see it this season.
Yeah, I think there's a middle ground of, you know, if they have an okay season, show positive signs, people will be okay. But if it's if they have seven games that kind of look like last night, that would be really bad. You know, I don't think that will be the case. Because that seems like really worst case scenario, but yeah, if things go really, really bad, obviously that will ratchet up pressure. I think people can understand, you know, okay with signs of improvement though.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. If you can see something, give you something to build off of. Kevin, always appreciate you, man. We have to go to the vent couch, I suppose, and just kind of talk about this a little bit. So we appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Brady.
Happy Halloween, my friend. And yeah, stay away from the candy corn.
I definitely will do that.
All right, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Tough go. Yeah, no doubt about it. 38-17 for Colorado State. You got quarterback question marks already. Not just a loss. Losses happen, Colfax. Lord knows Rams fans are used to it the last couple of years. But you're already in this very strange territory with the quarterback. Yes, you could sense that Addazio was frustrated with the whole situation with Dante Wright. And it's a strange time. You don't know from any given day how many players you're going to have. And sometimes that's out of your control. 41 minutes after the hour, we're way past the break here. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick, and you're listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
Yes, yes, I know you're hungry. And here comes dinner.
Oh, yeah, I never heard that.
Me either.
I've never heard the beginning like that. You never know what you're going to get on The Whole Show, Colfax.
Especially the day before Halloween.
On Halloween Eve. All Hallows Eve. Is that what we call it? You got big plans? Does anybody have big plans?
Staying safe.
Stay safe. Stay inside. Stay where it's safe. Oh, boy. First of it is text line 31996. 31996. Colfax, I didn't even get to this yet, but the big story of the day... Yeah. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The Broncos canceled practice Friday after they had a player test positive for COVID-19. Offensive lineman Graham Glasgow is what we're hearing at this point. Of course, Mike Munchak entered the COVID-19 protocol last week. He wasn't present at practice Wednesday or Thursday. They didn't name the player at first, but now that is news all over Twitter. I guess I have the question, why are we still having this game and not moving, which I'm not complaining, but why was the Patriots game moved around for a couple of players, but you're seeing that this game is not moved around? Chargers had one too. So is that a Patriots thing? Was that so that they could potentially get Cam Newton back? How about this, Colfax? If Peyton Manning was here, if he was the quarterback for the Broncos and his lineman was down, do you think the NFL would find a way to move this game out? I just don't think the Broncos get that kind of respect. I know they're running out of time to reschedule things, but they've already talked about moving the Super Bowl back by three or four weeks. So that's a little frustrating. But the game is planned to go ahead. And like I said, I don't have a problem with that. Mine was the fact that we moved the game and then basically just said, oh, by the way, guys, that was your bye week. Hope you had fun practicing. That's weird. First Advantage text line, 31996, 31996. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is available. It's Broncos related today. We hit the Rams pretty heavily throughout the week, so we'll go Broncos today. Think about this before the Chargers game, because this game's going to tell us a lot. Do you think the Broncos, do you like the direction the Broncos are heading? With Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, Drew Locke, this defense, the scheme, John Elway. Do you like the direction they're heading? Would you like to see it play out? Or are you ready to see this thing just torn completely open? Break it down from top to bottom. Bye-bye Elway, bye-bye Fangio. Drew Locke's not our guy. We are trading off assets, and here we go. Trade deadline's coming up, reason I ask. And obviously, my deep thoughts from a wandering mind, my quick take on the Broncos and their lack of offensive identity. I talk a lot about Elway's issues that's really impacting the Broncos. Colfax, I make this comparison. I kind of feel like John Elway, you know, have you ever been to the grocery store hungry? You know, they say not to do that, right? Don't go to the grocery store hungry because you're going to buy a lot of crap you're never going to eat. You see stuff and you're like, oh, definitely going to eat those fish sticks. I'm doing something like that. But you're not thinking about health when you're hungry, right? You're thinking about all the junk food that you can buy. Elway's like that. He goes into the grocery store. He's starving. Oh, there's two wide receivers. Sweet. We don't really need them, but yeah, you never know. Oh, there's Melvin Gordon. Let me get him. Let me sign him. We don't really need him, but we're going to get him. Rather than getting the things that are good for you, like carrots and apples and all that good stuff, right? Well, an offensive lineman or a defensive back or a linebacker, that would have been the nutrients you needed in the draft and free agency. But instead, you went out with the sexy picks. You go KJ Hamler in the second round. You know, you get another tight end, you draft a tight end, you sign one in free agency. So I feel like Elway's a lot like that, and so that's the question. Do you think that that will get better, or would you like to see this organization just torn completely apart? 51 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. It is Football Friday. Got a lot to talk about today. We get into the Broncos-Chargers preview. I'm calling it a must-win. If you want to keep those playoffs actually in front of you, we'll be right back. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.
When I look out my window.
No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA, The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Mike Brohart. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
That's a good one. Halloween tunes, scary tunes. Halloween tomorrow. Weird Halloween. COVID Halloween. Welcome back to the show. Dixon says, the Patriots' entire team was shut down for the entire week and unable to practice at all. That's not the case with the Broncos. Yeah, but they did that so the NFL would move it. That was all part of the plan. Pillified Dan says, the NFL didn't seem too concerned with the Raiders' entire O-line being out last weekend. Exactly. We moved the Titans to a Tuesday. We're doing all these different weird things for other teams, but the Patriots get to push that game all the way out so that Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore can play. Come on, man. Just be consistent. I get it, though. COVID-19, we're in that world where everything is inconsistent. Second hour coming up next. Football Friday coming up next.